If you will take your Bibles with me tonight and turn to Philippians chapter number 4. We're going to be taking our reading tonight from Philippians chapter number 4, some very good scripture that I love to read over in the book of Philippians, and we'll take our reading from there in just a moment. But I ask if you will, before we do get into the reading, if you will, I would like for you to bow your head and pray with me and pray for me tonight. And you're welcome to leave a prayer request in the comments as we're going through the service tonight. And if you have a special request that you would like to leave, we have a couple of people that are watching those requests tonight. And I ask you, if you want to leave those, you're more than welcome to do that. If you will, bow your head and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings, God. And God, we ask you that you'll just be here with us tonight, God. Help us as we get into your word. God, I know that I'm nothing. I'm not worthy to stand here tonight. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. But God, since the day that you saved me, that did make me one of your children. And I want to thank you and praise you for loving me and for saving me. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll just touch in the middle of this situation that we're in, God. I pray in the middle of the circumstances that seem so uncertain. God, we don't even know how to handle ourselves in the middle of these circumstances. God, I want you to try and help us, God. I want you to help to encourage us through your word. God, I ask you, dear Father, just to touch in an amazing way, God, as people don't really know what to think, don't know what to believe, don't know how to act. God, I pray that you'll help us. God, may we look unto you for our help and our strength. And God, I pray that you'll just use this for your glory. God, if there's one that's lost, maybe somehow through this uncertain times that they see their need for a Savior and they accept Jesus Christ. God, help us in everything that we do. Forgive us of our sins and help us to give you glory with our lives. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Philippians chapter number 4, I'm going to start reading with verse number 1 tonight, and we'll just share a few verses of scripture, and then we'll be done here in just a little while. Philippians 4, verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know, I've read this verse of scripture many times in my life. I've read Philippians chapter number 4 several times growing up in church and even pastoring or just preaching in the short time that I've been doing those things. And as we look at Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 1, I sort of just ran through it a lot of times as I was reading it. But as I was reading it this week and studying for the Bible study tonight, when you get to the part here where it says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, that longed for is making more sense to me more than it ever has in my life. For the time period that we've had to cancel our services here and go to a live stream service, you know, I am thankful for the opportunity that we have to do that. But church family, I miss you. I am longing for you. Autumn and I were talking on the way to church tonight, and she was talking about how there were some wanting to do something so that we could at least pass by one another and wave or see one another. I believe that the church family is longing for one another. And as we're seeing here in the book of Philippians, and he's writing and he says, dearly beloved and longed for, I can absolutely appreciate what he is saying here. In the longed for. I'm longing to see you. I'm longing to see your smiling face. I'm longing to be in your presence. I'm longing to draw strength from you and to fellowship with you, just as the writer here was in Philippians chapter number 4. It says, my joy, my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. We don't know how long that we're going to be in the middle of what we're going through. We don't know how long this will last. But I can tell you tonight, and I can ask you tonight and encourage you tonight, that no matter how long this lasts, we as Christians need to stand fast in the Lord. Sooner or later, this will come to an end. I don't know when. I can't make any guarantees or any promises. I don't know what's going to happen. And you say, well, preacher, how in the world can you say sooner or later that this will end? For one thing, I have a promise of heaven. If it never ends, and I don't even want to say that, but if it never ends here on this side of eternity, I know that one day that this will absolutely end. And I want to stand fast in the Lord. Just as the writer was writing here in Philippians chapter number 4. I'm longing for you, and soon, I hope that soon that we can be in the physical presence of one another again. But let's just say, for whatever reason, that it's by and by that we have the opportunity to see one another again. Stand fast in the Lord, because then we will have all eternity to spend together. Verse number 2, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, these two guys may have been at opposite ends of the stick on a situation. They may have had a little opposition in between them. And he's saying here, I want to encourage you. I want to beseech you that you be in the same mind in the Lord. Verse number 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. I want you to notice here at the end of verse number 3, he's talking about all these different people who were working together that may have been in the same mind, that were working together for a common purpose. And then he said, whose names are written in the book of life. And I believe as he is writing here is when he wrote, whose names are written in the book of life. I believe that is what spurred, or that is what caused the writing in verse number 4. Because as they are laboring together and they have a common cause, as he is longing for them and encouraging them to stand fast in the Lord, then in verse number 4 he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now as you read that verse number 4 and you see rejoice in the Lord always, again we're in a time that rejoicing may seem a little bit difficult. Rejoicing may seem a little bit uncertain, but I want to encourage you that we as Christian people, we have every cause to rejoice. We have every need to rejoice. There's a lost and a dying world looking unto us right now to see what our reaction to the circumstances that we're in. They're looking to us to see how that we react, because I want to tell you something, the only hope that they have is here in this world. And sometimes the hope that is in this world would make you most miserable. But as we look at verse number 4, and as he's writing, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It's almost like he paused there in verse number 4, and he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and he paused, maybe considering the current circumstances that he was in. Maybe looking in the future, not knowing what circumstances may come his way. Maybe as he is looking at that, he knows that hard times have come, that more hard times may come. And as he looks, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Maybe with a pause, thinking about past, current, and future situations. And then he still comes out and says, and again I'll say rejoice. No matter what we're going through, that we can rejoice. Verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You know, I believe that the Lord could call us up out of here at any time. I don't believe that there's anything holding him back but his mercy and his grace. And even in the time that Philippians was writing, they were saying, the Lord is at hand. There is coming a day of final victory for us as Christians. There's coming a day when we won't have to face any more troubles or trials or sickness or uncertainty. There's coming a day when all of those things will pass away. The Lord is at hand. I know, because that even that time is unknown to us, even because we don't fully understand what's on the other side for us, that we are enjoying life here. None of us like to think about dying. None of us like to think about leaving this world, because we have been blessed so much with a good life here, and God has given us so many good gifts that we are enjoying here. But I want you to know that when the day that the Lord is at hand, that when the day comes that he calls us up out of here, this world and the things of this world will mean absolutely nothing to us anymore. We will be in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Man, what advice in the time that we're at right now. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Do you find yourself anxious? Do you find yourself worrying? Well, let's go back to Philippians 4 and 6 where he says, be careful for nothing. Worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's nothing wrong with going to God and asking him to take care of this situation. There's nothing wrong with him for asking, or nothing wrong with asking him to prepare us for the days that we have ahead, or to deliver us from what we're in. But we should be doing that with prayer and supplication of thanksgiving. We should be letting our requests be made known unto God. It's not a time of worry, but a time to look unto God. And verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you have the peace of God tonight? Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, you know, in the circumstance that we're in, that's just kind of the overshadowing circumstance. But each and every one of us still have little circumstances in our life. We still have family that we're worried about. We still have situations that we need God to work in. We still have other concerns that we're in. But I want you to know that in all of those circumstances, that we need to have the peace of God, that we can have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want you to look at the end of verse number 7 where he says, and shall keep your hearts. And then I want you to notice the next two words, and minds. Do you know that your mind is a powerful tool? That your mind can control a whole lot of your reaction. Your mind can control a whole lot of your emotions, can control your worry, can control a lot of aspects of our lives. So as in verse number 7, and it says, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. I want to talk to you about your mind for just a minute, because it continues to lead us right into verse number 8 of Philippians chapter number 4. He's going to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not through the security of a job, not through financial security, not through the security of health care or anything else, but he's going to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's where our hope is. Verse number 8, because I want you to notice how he tells us to keep our minds. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You want to control your mind? You want to try to help with the anxiety? You want to try to be in a place to where you're following verse number 6 where he tells us not to worry? You want to try to control those thoughts? Then you begin to think about the things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, have virtue, have praise in them. You think on these things and you can control a whole lot of the emotion that you may be having. And all of this, of course, is with God's help and all through Jesus Christ. When we begin to think about, and I don't know about you, but I've spent too much time in days past watching the news and watching reports and flipping through Facebook, and you actually get to the place to where you don't know even what to believe. You hear this on this side, and you hear that on this side, and you hear a conspiracy theory somewhere in the middle, and you begin to be in a place that we don't even know what to believe in the middle of this situation. But I want to tell you what you can believe. You can believe that there was a God that loved us so much that he knew that this was coming in our lives, that he knew that no matter what, that at some point in time in our life, whether it be through the death angel, through a sickness, through the rapture, that one day that we would stand before him, and the only hope that we would have would be in Jesus Christ. The only hope that we would have would be through the blood that Jesus shed there on Calvary. And I'm so glad that God loved me so much that he knew before the foundations of the world that I would need salvation through Jesus Christ. He said, those things which you have both learned. You know what? I learned those things as a child in Sunday school. I learned those things at home by mama and daddy teaching me about the Bible. I learned those things as I grew up in church under some good sound preaching, that Jesus Christ loved me, that Jesus Christ would be there for me, that God wanted me to have peace that passes all understanding. Those things which you have both learned and received. And I'm glad I know the day that I received it. I'm glad, you know, the church knows that I've told them many times that I can't tell you the date that I was saved. I have no idea what the date was that I was saved, but I know without a doubt, I remember getting on my knees and asking Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life. I remember that, and I know that I have received it. And the things that you have heard and seen in me, I've had some good examples in my life that showed me that when times get tough, that God's still good. When things are uncertain, that God is still good. Those things what you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Those things that we've been taught from God's word, those things that have been in examples given to us by others who love God and were living for God, he says those things you should do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I know sometimes right now it's hard to control our minds. It's hard to control. I come home this afternoon and I was stressed out. I said a couple of things to my wife. I said a couple of things to my daughter that should have never been said because I'm stressed out because of all of the circumstances that we're going through. You know what? That's not where God wants me to live. That's not where I need to be as a Christian believer. I need to be in the place that I don't have the worry, that I'm careful for nothing, that I know that my hope is through Jesus Christ, and that I am thinking about the things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report, the things that have virtue, the things that have praise. Think on these things. A couple of times in the past few days when I have got to the place where I was kind of concerned about the situation, when I was thinking about things at work and thinking about things at home and thinking about things at church and began to be a little bit burdened down. You know what has helped me as much as anything? I began to think about the days that my children accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I began to think about having the opportunity to lead them unto the Lord, to tell them about Jesus Christ, knowing that my children are saved, knowing that my wife saved. Those are the things that I need to be thinking about the things that God has delivered me from in my life. If I'll do that, then I can allow God to help me to keep my mind. Let's continue reading let's scoop down to verse number 11. Let's read verses 11 through 13. Now that I speak in respect of want, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know, I don't know that any of us are happy about what we're going through right now. When you look at the health concern, when you look at the economic concern, when you look at having to spend that much time locked up in a house with your family, I don't know that any of us are really excited about that right now. That's a good thumbs up place right there. It says, but now we need to learn to be content with those things. The writer was writing here, he says, I have learned in verse number 12, because I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Not that I'm some kind of superpower or not that I'm some kind of super Christian, but it's all through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's skip down to verse number 19. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. As we're talking about the circumstances that we're in, as we're talking about the different needs that we have, there is no need that we have that is any greater than that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you have no need that's greater than to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, ask Him to come into your life, to ask Him to forgive you and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the greatest need that you could ever have. As you watch TV, you'll hear them talk about all kinds of needs concerning the circumstance that we're in right now. But all of those things, all of those needs won't compare to the need of you needing to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christians, we have no greater need than for our personal relationship with Jesus Christ to be what God desires it to be. What He designed for us to have, that relationship that He designed for us to have, that personal intimate relationship that we're supposed to have with God. There should be nothing more important than that. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Even in what we're going through, there is glory that can be given. Back in 2018, there was a family here in the church that tragedy hit their family. I'm not going to share because I haven't asked permission, and I'm not going to just take that liberty to share their circumstance. But there was a tragedy that hit a family here in the church. And it was something that we knew was going to end even more tragic. As I prayed and tried to seek God on their behalf, and when I would go and visit with them, there were times that I just didn't know what was going to happen in this situation. And there was a time that it even got to where we were not sure how it would end. And it got to a place that it looked hopeless. But you know, one of the family members spoke up one day, happened to be one of the kids of the family. Man, it's amazing. I wish I had the faith of kids sometimes. And she spoke up in so many words, I won't quote it just right. But she said, God has to take this situation to where it's hopeless so that we know that it's Him that brought us out of this situation. And you know, so many times in situations in my life, I would try to fix the situation. I would do everything that I knew to do to fix it. And when I finally give up and said, God, this is yours. This is too big for me. I can't handle it. God would work and God would do amazing things in those situations. And just to let you know, that situation didn't end tragically. It is amazing. It's a miracle how God worked in that situation. Now, in all the circumstances of our life, in everything that we may be going through right now, the circumstance that is overshadowing us, and in every little circumstance that you may have going on in your home, I want you to know that God is big enough to supply that need. That we should be in a place that we're not worried. That we should be in a place that we're thinking on the things that God has instructed us to think about. That we may have the relationship with God that we should have, and that He should get glory out of every part of our life. Wherever you're at tonight, whether you're watching from your living room, maybe sitting in your car somewhere, wherever you may be watching this live stream, if the anxiety, if worry is getting you, I want to encourage you to think about the things that were written here in Philippians. Think about the things that there's praise in. Think about the things that are just, the things that are good. Think on those things. And most of all, know that our God is big enough to supply any need that we would ever have. Know that He has never let us down, and He is never going to. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for all that You do for us. God, I want to thank You for the word that You've given us tonight. God, I want to thank You for taking it and speaking to my heart. And God, I need to ask Your forgiveness for letting some of the circumstances that are around us right now, letting it overwhelm me. God, I want to ask You to forgive me for questioning how man is going to bring us out of this. Because, God, it won't be man that'll bring us out of this. God, it won't be man that meets our needs. But, God, You said that You would supply our need, whatever our need is. God, I ask You tonight that You'll help us to lean on You, that You'll help us to trust You. God, help us to think on the things that You've told us to think on. Help us, God, that You'll help us to live in a way that will give You glory in this time and that we may point somebody else to the cross of Christ. Thank You for loving us so much and being a God big enough to handle every circumstance of our life. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. We'll be back on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We're just a couple of weeks away from Easter. What an exciting time it is for believers. And I ask you just to spend a few extra minutes in your Bible every day. Find somewhere, steal away, and pray. Ask God to help you, help your mind in the middle of this situation, and most of all, to help that we will all bring God glory and point somebody to the cross of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.